flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Harsh, Scott the Gator Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Look, you know what's funny is the previous caller, Ben. Was it Ben? It was Ben, wasn't it? No, Dan?
It was Dan.
Dan.
Actually, shot straight for Ben.
Apologies all Ben's out there.
So, Dan, I don't think his conclusion was he doesn't think Brad Holmes will do what it takes to get Myles Garrett. I actually agree with him because the two first round thing, which appears to be, you know, an asking price that is reasonable. The two first round thing is something that Detroit can't match other teams' two first rounders. So you got to go above and beyond it. And I really suspect that he won't go above and beyond it. Knowing him, it doesn't fit his pattern. Now, as you point out all the time, the context has changed. But is you kind of start talking about the way that other teams that could get in the mix here, I think what we have to hope is that Myles Garrett tells them, I'm not going to Chicago. I'm not going to San Francisco. I'm not going to Dallas. I'm not going to these teams with way better draft capital than Detroit. And then Detroit's in a bidding war with their peer group, Buffalo, yeah. Philadelphia, like teams. You know, the Commanders. But I think his reasoning was a little bit of revisionist history to say that he was screaming for secondary help, that they needed to make a move to get a secondary. They were healthy at the trade deadline in the secondary.
Yeah, you wanted to say about the edge rusher, sure, but they got the best edge rusher that was available.
According to Brad Holmes, he could be lying. He's been really pretty credible here in Detroit, so I'm going to go and give Brad Holmes the benefit of the doubt and believe him. You know, the Crosby stuff was probably fantasy talk, okay?
Well, remember the reports around the trade deadline where the Lions had contacted the Raiders multiple times about Max Crosby, and they were told the same thing every time. He's not available. Mm-hmm. He's not available. And lo and behold, Max Crosby was not traded. So, ergo, Max Crosby was not available. This is a different situation altogether. Myles Garrett has come out publicly and said he wants to be traded. Right?
Yep.
Now, this could just be a negotiating ploy because he wants to be paid the highest, maybe wants to be the highest paid player in defense in NFL history. And his contract is, you know, coming close enough where he can get that. Or he legitimately wants out of there because he's had enough. He's played a bunch of years in Cleveland. They're going nowhere. They've got a horrific situation with the quarterback. Even if they thought that they could salvage what Deshaun Watson is as a quarterback, he's got another setback with his Achilles issue. And I actually feel bad for him with that because I want to see the guy have a redemption story of some kind.
I don't.
I just root for people to have a second chance and be better. But the fact that he's re-injured it again during his recovery, that doesn't bode well for them. So now they're screwed as an organization. He should want to get out of there if winning is something he values, and it seems like it is. And he's got the no trade clause. So, you know, if he's real serious about this, he can, I guess, instruct his agent to go ahead and try to force something to happen with Cleveland and say, look, he really wants out. Here's where he wants to go. Because I imagine Detroit is a destination at this point.
It is, and it'd be great to take advantage of that. And if they could get him for two first-rounders, I think speaking for everybody, they would do that. And I think they should do that, and I think Brad Holmes would. The problem is many other suitors will have better first rounders, and you have to up the ante. And how much do you have to up the ante? You might not be able to top a team that's got a top 10 pick and is willing to give up their, you know, a first rounder next year, because people, if you have a top 10 pick, people think, okay, chances are I'm not handing them the 32nd pick. I'm not getting the 32nd pick back in return. You give them to Detroit, you feel like we might be handing them the player that gives us the 32nd pick back. Let's get back to your phone calls. Jeff in Ohio. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Good, thank you.
Listen, on the Myles Garrett thing, it's an easy way to get him. And first of all, if he gets to select a team that he doesn't want to go to and go to, I think Detroit would be on the top list. One reason would be because they're indoors, so he doesn't have to deal with weather. That helps. Second thing is, as far as the Lions are concerned, we have the strongest offense in the NFL, potent. So what we could do is simple. Give them the first two rounds this year, next year, and part with Jamison Williams. We can afford to lose Williams if we got Myles Garrett on defense.
What if Chicago comes back and goes first, two firsts, and Rome Odunze?
Yeah, but they play outdoors. Detroit doesn't.
So you think that's a deciding factor, Jeff, is the playing outdoors?
Sure. I would rather play indoors.
Okay, well, there's other – how about this? Because there's evidence that would show that playing indoors increases your risk of injury.
I still think he'd rather be indoors than play outdoors.
No idea. No idea if he does or doesn't.
I just feel that most players don't want to deal with the elements.
Why do you say that? You say it with such assuredness.
Because I think it's a fact that most players would prefer not to play in rain, wind, snow, all that crap. I think they would rather play where you got a nice climate, whether it's indoors or in Florida or someplace else.
So now you're extending it to Florida teams, and I imagine California teams.
No, because they got better weather.
I know. I understand that. I'm just saying it's more than just indoors. I don't know. I don't know if players would rather play indoors or not. I think that there's certainly something to be said for playing indoors if you're an offensive player. If you're a defensive end, do you think it matters where the hell you play?
Dude, I love my man's commitment to the theory. He was committed. Because when we brought up like a team that could trump Detroit's offer, he screamed back at us, Chicago's outdoors!
Right.
I appreciate his commitment to the belief.
As a defensive end, I don't think you care where you play.
I suspect that I have no way of knowing with Myles Garrett, and if he had cited, Myles Garrett once said, I hate playing outdoors.
Okay, here we go.
I mean, he's got 100 sacks playing out as a team that plays outdoors. He's had great success with a team playing outdoors. But anyway. 248-539-9797, phone calls, feedback. Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. And we are getting ticket texts on this, of course. The Browns made the playoffs 2 years ago with Joe Flacco. If I'm the Browns, I don't trade him because if they get any kind of average quarterback play, they're a playoff team.
But if he wants out, if he's going to force the trade.
That's A. And B is, I can't see a team with a $73 million anchor putting together a roster to be a legitimate threat.
It's hard to do.
He's probably, there's a chance he'll never take a snap for them again, and they've got $73 million committed the next 2 years.
They got DTR is their quarterback right now.
Nope.
And, do they feel like they need to draft? They have the second overall pick. Are they going to draft a quarterback, or are they going to, if they trade Myles Garrett, are they going to draft Myles Garrett's replacement on defense in Abdul Carter? Or go with Travis Hunter.
Myles Garrett had a change of heart right after Za'Darius Smith left Cleveland and came here. It's a no-brainer, guys. To keep Smith and Garrett is easy to keep Smith and Garrett is easy to get. That's from Mike in Detroit. I really wish this was easy, man. I really wish this was easy. 248-539-9797. All right, coming up, I can't tell if Gator is going to be mad or say, who gives an F? I swear to God, I think this story might send you off the deep end and get you irate.
Oh.
Or you're going to be, you're gonna say, so what? We will get to, I will introduce this to you at 12:30 and either watch Gator go off or blow it off. Is he going to go off or is he going to blow it off? That's at 12:30. Here on 97.1 The Ticket, the FanDuel Kick of Destiny is back, and this time it's every Manning for himself. The Super Bowl, two legends will take to the field in the sudden death field goal showdown. It's Peyton versus Eli live from New Orleans. Who will rise to the moment? Pick your winner now on the FanDuel app. I picked today. I picked Eli.
Why?
And if Eli, because I think he's younger and I think he's going to be a little bit more athletic. So I decided to go with the younger, more athletic brother. And if he does split the uprights in this battle between Manning brothers, I'll get a share of $10 million in bonus bets. You can go pick whoever you want. It's FanDuel Kick of Destiny 3. Make your free pick, and don't forget to tune in to watch Showdown Live during the Super Bowl 59 pregame show on Fox at 3 p.m. Eastern. May the best Manning win. Download the app or head to FanDuel.com/Doug to bet with FanDuel, official partner of Super Bowl 59. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. No purchase necessary. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. Void where prohibited. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So there's a lot of trade proposals flying in, and I'm realizing that our issue is that our first round picks just don't carry weight. Our biggest chance to get Myles Garrett is if Myles Garrett gives the Browns a list of teams that doesn't include anybody inside the top 20 of the draft. Because, like, I appreciate everybody. Like, we just got one here from Coop. What about a first, a third, Hooker, and Laporta? Would you do that? I would hate to lose Laporta, but what do you think? I think if Chicago came back and said, okay, we'll give you our first and third and Cole Kmet, they'd take that 10 times out of 10 because of where Chicago's first and third fit. So, you know, you can keep upping the ante, but because of the draft position and because of Cleveland, what appears to be the Cleveland priority, and what it probably should be given the Deshaun Watson anchor contract for the next 2 years, is play for 2027 and hoard assets the next 2 years. And, you know, that makes some sense. It's a timeline. It's a finish line to get out from under Deshaun and be ready to compete right away. And, oh, by the way, use all that draft capital that you're getting back to say, we're going to trade, we're going to do what it takes to move up to the top of the draft and take Arch Manning next year. Or if Arch Manning stays for 2 years, you accrue even more draft capital and you can really have the war chest of draft picks to move up to number one to get Arch Manning. Or Dylan Raiola or DJ Lagway or whoever becomes the top pick in the 2027 draft. And now you've got a team built and a rookie contract quarterback. Like, if I'm rebuilding the Browns, I'm actually kind of excited to have 2 years where it's just not realistic to compete, hoard assets, and be ready to pounce in 2027. I've been there so many times with the Lions, I feel like I'm familiar with how to start a rebuild.
True. And in the meantime, it gives them some time to see if DTR is a professional quarterback or not.
Yeah.
But
yep.
I'm not about rebuilding Cleveland.
I'm not, but
neither. But you have to recognize what's going to be best for Cleveland in order to see if the Lions can do something about that for Myles Garrett.
And it's going to be difficult if anybody in the top 20 can put together an offer. It just is. And now Myles Garrett, he knows what's going on. He knows what's up. Lions are a spot now. Like this, we finally are the cool kid. You know, we finally are the cool kid. So let's cross our fingers on this one. That this is an example of how it works to our benefit. That it's a short list and we're on it.
Let's hope so.
All right, I got a question for you. Super Bowl is being held in New Orleans.
Is that the question?
Well, no, that's the premise.
Yes.
That's not the stat of the day. That's not the stat of the day. I mean, the zero love that came my direction, the zero respect, the zero interest.
I don't Red Wings to St. Louis Blues comparison to start the show.
Yeah.
From worst to first.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Blues bottomed
on
out
track.
At 15-18-4 after whatever that is, 15-18-4, 37 games. And after 37 games this year, the Red Wings were 15-18-4. The fact that after being 15-18-4, the Blues got to 27-22-5, and the Red Wings are now 28-21-5, which means we're actually trending better than that Blues team was. Gator found this completely irrelevant. Was so unimpressed. It was quite frankly heartbreaking. And in some ways, if I had any pride, we might have some issues. But I've lost all my pride years ago.
Not even one pride.
Not even one pride. I don't even have one pride. All right, so Super Bowl's in New Orleans. The trip that we made to New Orleans, was that the only time you've been to New Orleans?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think that New Orleans is overrated, underrated, or properly rated?
Well, I'm not sure if it's fair with my evaluation because we went there during a special time to go during the Super Bowl. It'd be like if you went to New Orleans during Mardi Gras.
Wasn't it the same time?
I think it was around the same time, yeah. Are you getting a different view of what New Orleans is versus if you went there in April or went there in October or something like that? Am I really seeing what New Orleans is, or am I just seeing what a week-long party is like?
Mm-hmm.
And for us, it wasn't a week long. We were there for just a few days. But do I think it was overrated or underrated? I think it was properly rated.
Okay.
It was about what I expected. The streets were packed with people.
Yep.
Every place we went to was packed with people. We were there more of a corporate junket, if you will, and had dinners and stuff like that were set up ahead of time. And that was all really well done. Really well. Lori and the crew did a great job of organizing those things back then.
Yep.
And it was great. We had time to do stuff what we wanted to during the day. Did a lot of walking out there. And it was fine. I don't think it was overrated. I don't think it was underrated. I think it was...
You think it was properly rated?
Yeah.
So was it like almost exactly what you thought it would be? You know what I mean? To be properly rated? Like, hey, I kind of expected this and this is what it had
happened? It kind of was, yeah.
Okay. Cleaner or dirtier than you thought?
A little dirtier than I thought. but not to the point where it's like, oh my God, never again.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I'll ever go back to New Orleans. If I were, would it be just in the capacity like for a Super Bowl thing or would I ever go there because, hey, somebody, let's go to New Orleans for the weekend. Oh, okay. I don't know if it's a destination for me. But it was fine to go there. I'm glad I went there. I'm glad I got to experience it. It's not like I don't have a bucket list and it wouldn't be part of it, but it was fine.
I've been there twice. Been there for a Sugar Bowl and I've been there for a Super Bowl, which means I was there on New Year's Eve. And I was there during Super Bowl week. So probably pretty good weeks to be in New Orleans. It has an old world feel to it. It has a stepping back in time feel to it. It has it has a Vegas vibe from a party standpoint. I mean, I guess without the gambling, although they do have riverboats. There was a riverboat that I remember everybody, I think we even spent a... Was that the Sugar Bowl or the Super Bowl? Did we spend a day? Okay. Then I was there during the Sugar Bowl. So I don't think it's, I actually think it's properly rated. I think it's worth it. I liked it, but it wasn't like life changing. And was it dirty? Yes. Did I expect it to be dirty? Kinda. So it's definitely, it's got its niche and it knows what it is. And it owns it.
Okay. Would you want to go back there?
Under the right circumstances.
But for a non-sporting event.
Yeah, I thought about it. You know, my wife and I are about to be empty nesters, and we're thinking about where we might travel and stuff like that. And I've mentioned New Orleans, and she's interested. We didn't do very many touristy things. We did go to Bourbon Street for sure and sampled different types of hurricanes. Evan was epic on Bourbon Street. Evan on Bourbon Street was fantastic. We bumped into Lundo, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah.
John Lund, former morning show host.
Yep. But I guess let's take 10 texts at 248-539-9797. New Orleans, overrated, underrated, properly rated. And remember to sign your text so we can give you credit. Kang? You've never been there.
No, but I do want to go. I do want to experience it. It's an iconic American city, you know? And I'm not like, I don't have a bucket list to visit all of them or anything like that, but I would like to see New Orleans. It does have a lot of sports history to it as well with all the bowls you mentioned, right? Whether it's college or Super Bowl. I'm thinking it's going to be, I'm expecting pretty dirty. So it actually might be cleaner than what I'm expecting, but unless it's just insanely dirty, like the streets of Bourbon. But like I said, I have low expectations for that part of it. Is Bourbon Street long or far? Because I remember the first time I went to Rodeo Drive, and I was like, that's like half a street. You know, like, yeah, it's not
it's
even
like
it's a block. Yeah. Yeah. So when you watch it in the movies and all stuff, you're like, oh, Rodeo Drive, like, it's barely anything. You can like see the end from where, like from one end.
Right. And nowadays you see the exact same stores in every hotel in Vegas.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So it's not a big deal. Yeah. But so I wonder what Bourbon Street would be like for me. Do you guys have one of those, like, what is it? They call them hand grenades or something, and those drinks or anything?
The hurricane was
a big drink. Yeah. We definitely did one.
Yeah, I might have.
Because I wanted to try one and see what
More than one, maybe.
You know.
Did Evan on the Street have more than one?
Dude, Evan, that might have been my favorite.
There were others on the
Evan.
Trip that had more than one.
That's true. All right, New Orleans, overrated, underrated, or properly rated? I got a story here. The Gator's either going to blow off or he's going to go off. We'll get to that at 12:35 here on 97.1 The Ticket. All right, feedback coming in. New Orleans, overrated, underrated, or properly rated? It is. It's the host site of the Super Bowl. Brian writes in, it's underrated. The architecture is beautiful, the live music is fun, and the food is amazing. From Rick in Ann Arbor, New Orleans is very properly rated. Lots of history, lots of fun. I recommend going to the World War II Museum. Don from Wayne, very overrated. Expected better food. Brandon and Shelby, it is overrated. They have so many people trying to hustle you, and the streets are gross.
So the food aspect of it is certainly appealing to both myself and to Kang.
Yeah, you have my attention.
And I was there with you, Doug.
Yep.
Is it a challenge?
No, tons of shrimp. Tons of shrimp.
But how much shrimp can you eat?
I ate like shrimp a lot, yeah. Dude, yes. I did not get sick of shrimp. I got sick. I guess it was sick from hurricanes, not of hurricanes, from hurricanes. Definitely overrated just because it constantly smells like a porta potty. That's from John in West Bloomfield. It's properly rated, a little dirtier than expected. It's from Eddie in Armada.
The biggest problem I had with New Orleans was walking the streets, and you're walking on the sidewalks there. Everything is pitched to the street. So you're always walking on an angle, and I ended up paying a price after the second night.
Yeah, you weren't happy.
No, my feet were ruined. My ankles were ruined.
You sure it wasn't one too many hurricanes there, Gator? A little sideways?
It was not. Not at all.
I feel like the street is crooked, dog.
The streets are slurring.
Below sea level, so this is what they do to try to deal with the tons of water that they get there is everything's pitched to the street so it can get flushed out.
The ground kept falling.
Yeah. But that was a problem with me. I remember waking up in the middle of the night and I almost fell out of bed because my ankles are done.
Mm.
Then you threw up?
Look, I have no problem admitting when I've thrown up from drinking. I did not in New Orleans because I didn't drink that much in New Orleans or drink enough to get sick.
Mm-hmm. All right, more. It's completely overrated. My cousin goes to college down there. She said it's fun for one night watching people, and then all you're left with is the smell of blank and swamp water. Chris in White Lake says overrated, dirty, and pickpockets everywhere. From Michael, New Orleans is underrated, way better than Vegas because of the incredible music pouring out of every small live music venue. Josh and Warren, underrated. New Orleans is life-changing.
I'll take Vegas over New Orleans.
I think I'm going to, in the next few years, have to explore which one I like better.
But there are things I like to do in Vegas that I'm not doing in New Orleans. Plus, the humidity is completely...
Was it bad?
Well, not in February, but I imagine any other time. If you go between May and October, I imagine the humidity is stifling.
Food-wise, what were you able to? Like, did you try gator, Doug? Not the gator across from you?
No, I didn't eat any gator.
Okay. Is that the other white meat as well?
No, I don't consider it that.
Gator jambalaya?
No, I ate a ton of shrimp.
Jambalaya. Yeah.
And I was perfectly fine with it.
Just the shrimp?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We walked like 4 miles to get a po' boy.
Oh, okay.
We walked a long way that day.
A long walk.
So one of my favorite things, so we stayed like in this, it was basically a house that was turned into a hotel. It was pre-Vrbo. And they had a deal with a gym, I put in quotes. And the gym was just down the street and it was in a house. Like, it was just an old Victorian house turned into a gym. So, went to the gym, and it was just like, you know, people were members of this gym.
They have one of those vibrating belts that you would
what?
stand on a platform and wrap the belt around your waist like and just vibrated.
Something out of a Bond movie. Yeah. No, it was just a house turned into a gym. It was incredible.
The vibrating belt and medicine balls. That's all they had.
All right, Gator. So you threw this in the show sheet here, and I found it interesting. The NFL is looking towards 16 international games at some point, including an international Super Bowl, if they have a franchise outside the U.S. You hate the NFL's attempt at global domination.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled with it.
Front Office Sports is reporting today the English Premier League, the top soccer league in England, there was some discussion of moving regular season English Premier League games to the continental United States. We have taken basketball overseas, football overseas, baseball overseas, hockey overseas. We have shared our big four sports.
Mm-hmm.
The English Premier League is approached about playing regular season games in the U.S. Every major U.S. men's pro sports league plays more and more games internationally. The English Premier League said, no, we're not going to do it. I can't figure out if this is going to make you more irate that we share our sports, or you're going to say, I don't care that the English Premier League doesn't want to come here.
Do you guys want to wager as to where I'm standing on this?
Do you think he's going to be mad, Kang, even though he doesn't care about EPL soccer?
I think he's not going to give a crap, and there's going to be a lot of spite to that too as well. But he's going to say, I don't give a crap about you. And your soccer. That's right, soccer, not football. Soccer.
Kenny, you think he's going to give a crap, or do you think he's going to just blow this off?
I think he's going to be peeved. Not angry. Not full-blown rage, but I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Okay. Gator, how does this make you feel?
You can have your precious soccer. You can keep it over there. I don't care. I think it's a misstep. I think you can make a ton of money off it because the United States, there is definitely a niche market. It's a big one.
It is a big one.
For people that love the Premier League, they care about all that stuff. Manchester United, is that Premier League? Is that what that is?
Yeah, it is.
And Ipswich, I don't know. Whatever other teams are there. There's definitely a market for it. I'm not part of that market, so I really don't care. I think you're cutting off your nose to spite your face because there's money to be made. You're not going to do it. You want to keep it there. But frankly, the way things are going right now in this country, I don't blame any other country for not wanting to do business with the United States. So be it. It doesn't affect me one way or the other. It's soccer, whatever. I wasn't going to go. I wasn't getting my tickets to go watch them play in East Lansing or in Ann Arbor or... You know, make a trek down to Columbus or wherever the hell they were going to play. I don't care.
Okay. I thought that there was a chance that this would make you more irate that they are.
How dare you refuse us?
They won't return the favor.
No, if you'd asked me a month ago, I might have a different view, but now I get it.
Kind of understand. 248-539-9797. It is Carson Anderson. 97.1 The Ticket. People ask me, what's behind the name Showsome in Showsome Athletic Apparel? Well, back in the day, the brothers who founded the company would ask each other a simple question before every pickup game. You're going to show some today, meaning are you going to show some respect? You're going to show some hustle? You're going to show some grit? Up your workout gear game and get into Showsome Athletic Apparel. Long and short sleeve workout shirts, performance hoodies. It's the best workout gear you will own. I've got someone to love it. Use a discount code GRIT at checkout. That's G-R-I-T. Go to showsome.com. That's S-H-O-S-U-M.com. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Tell you, Doug, I just saw this video on Twitter.
Yeah.
That Pitching WRX has posted. They've done a bunch of these videos of prospects pitching like indoors to the facility. They got a batter in the batter's box.
Yeah.
It says, first day of live at bats. Here is Tigers' second round draft pick, Owen Hall. We'll be posting many more lives in the coming days on Instagram. Dude. Kid throwing 98. He's throwing 98 and it is moving.
It's not even spring training yet.
Look at that. I mean, pitchers and catchers don't even report yet. Here's this kid, Owen Hall. Draft pick from last year in the second round. He's throwing 98. He could be a problem in years to come. Just getting a look at him now.
You are getting an early start on the spring training hype.
Well, I'm not concentrating on the Super Bowl, so.
You can hear it.
I mean, I've got the sound off, and I already know what it sounds like. It's got to be a heavy pitch.
It just sounds different popping the mitt, doesn't it?
These guys are swinging and missing differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for getting an early start on that.
Yeah.
Serious note about the Red Wings.
I'll repost it so everybody else can see it, too.
Great.
You can follow us on Doug and Gator at 971.
Serious note about the Red Wings, because you've been completely dismissive of my Red Wing St. Louis Blues comparison from the 2018-2019 season.
Mm-hmm.
How hopeful are you for this team making the postseason and then being able to make a run?
Well, I expect them to make the postseason. That was my expectation in the offseason. This is a playoff team. And then they started off so poorly and I got pissed. Now that they've made the coaching change, it's been 20 games and they've won 15 of those 20 games. That's impressive. So I like the style of hockey they're playing. Even watching last night, they look faster than they have. They're playing faster as a team. They're, in some respects, it's just throwing caution to the wind. They're getting to the corners. They're fishing the puck out of the corners. They're making plays, and they're doing it offensively and they're doing it defensively. Goaltending's been better, although last night maybe not as much, but they're able to get by, win in a shootout, and find ways to win games that you hope that you're supposed to win. You're supposed to beat the Kraken, mm-hmm. but it's like any other sport. You don't know when's that day that the team's just not going to look good. They look good for 2.5 periods, and then not so much in the last 10 minutes of the game last night, but they were able to get past and win the game and get the 2 points necessary. I like where they're at, man. I feel like this is absolutely, it's a playoff team. I don't know how high they're going to ascend in the division, in the Atlantic division, but they can absolutely overtake third place, and they've got an outside chance of taking second place in the division.
Last time they made the playoffs, they were out in the first round, losing in 5 games to Tampa. The year before, first round, 7 games, lost to Tampa. Year before that, 5 games, lost to Boston. It has been since 2013, since the Red Wings advanced out of the first round. They've missed the playoffs 8 years in a row. It could be so much fun, because if this is who they're going to be the rest of the way, they become an issue in the East, and they become that team that their resume is really about what they've done the last couple of months of the season, last 3 months of the season, more than what they did over the whole season. And that can be very scary for a first round opponent. This isn't looking like a team that's going to make that ceremonial trip to the playoffs. This looks like a team that can go to the playoffs and do something. And that there's completely different ways, right? I think the Pistons have been swept their last, it's either the last three or last four playoff trips. They were no threat. This Red Wing team could be a threat. And it really is because of my belief in the way the goaltending's played. And then goaltending's a reflection of the way the team's playing in front of them, which is also appears to be a reflection on the way that they're being coached.
Yeah, I think just in all aspects, they're better. And the other thing they get excited about, because the team is playing as well as they are, and hopefully they continue to win at a pretty good clip. I don't expect them to win 15 out of 20 games,
yep,
their next 20 games. But to win more than half of them, you're in the playoffs. So to keep doing that, what happens a month from now when the trade deadline comes on March 7th? What's Steve Yzerman going to do? You know, is he going to start? We talk about Brad Holmes. Is he going to F them picks and start trading guy? You know, trading those draft picks. When's Steve Yzerman going to make some big move to acquire a player to help push this team over the edge? And who is that player going to be? What happens, you know, after the Swedish league is done and, you know, Axelsson and Pelikka, is he somebody they want to take a look at, even though he's only 20 years old, but because he's played so well and he's an offensive-minded defenseman, does he get a look? And if he gets a look, does he have a chance to even latch on and make this team even better from that aspect? Now, he has to prove it that he's the guy, but like you've seen so far from him in a limited capacity of watching some international hockey, but they've got some things that can actually improve this team in the next 2 months, which I'm excited about.
Well, historically, the Detroit team that was F them picks was the Red Wings. Now, in a pre-cap era, it just felt like every year they were shipping out first-round picks.
1999, the trade deadline was epic that year when they traded everything away. They didn't care. They went on Chris Chelios, Bill Ranford, Ulf Samuelson, Wendell Clark. These are guys they all traded for.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fast and furious. It was fantastic. And in the end, they didn't win anything in 99. Ulf Samuelson played like four games. Wendell Clark played like a handful of games. Bill Ranford was just a throw. At that point, they're not even using him. And Chris Chelios played for the next 28 years. You know, but it was, it yielded nothing then. But that was an era. You're right. That was an era where you couldn't wait for the NHL trade deadline to see what the Wings would do and what Colorado would do. Those are the two teams that are always kind of, you know, going for the big name.
I think their deadline is in a month. I think it's March 7th. Okay, so it's a month from, what is that, Friday?
Yeah.
And the Red Wings now have one of the top-rated systems in the NHL as far as their minor league prospects. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you need both Trey Augustine and Sebastian Cosa? Do does Nate Danielson fetch you a really good player in return?
Do you need first-round picks?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a chance for Yzerman to, in one fell swoop, right, be right back to being what we hope he was being, and that is the guy that the hero comes home and rebuilds a Stanley Cup winner.
Well, and you think about, you know, last week it was they kind of leaked out what the salary cap is expected to be over the next few years, the projections, and it improves by like $7 to $8 million each year over the next couple of years. That's important to note for a team that just signed Mo Sider and Lucas Raymond to long-term deals. So those are already locked up. And moving forward, they'll have money to spend or money to take on if it's a trade.
So do you think if the Red Wings are back in the postseason, we'll get a tray of cupcakes with all the logos of the teams that made the postseason?
Because that's what happened. It was NBC that sent us all that crap.
So, yeah, that was years ago. And the game, I think it was NBC. Now they're with the Disney properties, so I'm not sure that the same promotion company. but they sent us 16 cupcakes with the logos.
Such a mistake.
Of all, it was a fantastic bit. I was so happy we did it. Of all the logos of all the NHL teams
were
in the playoffs. And so the icing had the logo.
Fondant or whatever it was.
Yeah, had the logo of the team, of 16 teams. And as teams got eliminated, Gator consumed their cupcake.
That was the bit. I was going to eat a cupcake after each team got eliminated. Not realizing that over the weekend, you may see four or five teams get eliminated, whatever it was. So when I come in on a Monday,
we had
a four cupcake
Monday.
Yeah.
And that was a risk me and Doug were willing to take.
Yeah, you guys not.
We stepped up.
Yeah.
So
I was having trouble with that.
I don't remember what year it was, but what I do know is that the Stanley Cup playoffs can last like 2 months. And so the last cupcake had aged a bit.
We didn't exactly preserve those as well as we should have. And it took me too long to realize to get a better consistency from the cupcake would be to microwave it for just a little bit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It took me a while to figure that one out. So there were a couple of cupcakes that I threw down. And I was like, oh, that's not good.
Nice job, Ramsey.
You know what? If Disney/ESPN doesn't step up, maybe there's a local bakery out there that can provide us with NHL logo cupcakes for Gator to consume throughout the postseason.
Cookies work too.
I like the cupcake.
I like the cupcake idea a lot better than cookies.
The cupcakes aren't going to keep.
It's kind of the point.
Yeah. I know.
Hey, remember, just microwave them, man.
Yeah, you know now.
Yeah, now I also know to wrap those things up in cellophane or whatever.
So,
saran wrap, whatever it takes.
The crux of the issue is, will there be a Red Wing cupcake?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think there will be a Red Wing cupcake this year. And the question is, how long will that Red Wing cupcake survive?
Do you remember I would go out like during commercial breaks and try to throw the thing down?
Yep.
And they were big cupcakes. They weren't like these little dainty things. These were big-ass cupcakes.
Yep.
These were like the kind that you would get from a fancy cupcake store. I would go out during a commercial break and try to throw one down and then come back in afterwards. And after a few of them, you're like, this is just – after doing it for a few days, it's like, all right, I don't really want to keep doing this, but I had to for the bit.
You committed.
Because I'm committed.
Yep.
I remember coming in and starting the next segment, and I'm still chewing and chewing like mad. Like, I can't get this taste out.
Yep.
Oh, people want us to do the NBA version as well. If the Pistons make the playoffs,
let's go.
Yeah. I think Doug and I will step you up for that as well.
I think it's I'm willing to make this sacrifice of having. Look, I understand that it might make it for segments. I might have to carry a segment or two. I'm willing to make that sacrifice.
You are?
I'm not against it.
Yes.
That means he's
I don't want the cupcake. Like we find like a glazed donut, a Krispy Kreme or something like that.
Gator.
I'm negotiating.
Every bunch of NFL or NHL players were asked a bunch of questions. You know, answer these anonymous questions. 111 players spoke on a variety of topics. Detroit ranked number one, the number one answer for one question.
In the NHL?
Yep. We will get to that today at 102. Plus your phone calls and feedback. It is Carson Anderson, 97.1.